LSG Media presents the Walking Dead Podcast. Welcome back to the Walking Dead Podcast. I am your host, Dean, and joining me tonight will be the lovely and intelligent Jessica. Jessica will be standing in for Matthew Anderson today because Matthew Anderson had prior obligations. He got arrested for a drunk and disorderly conduct, public urination, and soliciting a prostitute. So he's going to be out for a little bit. No, that's not true. He just had a prior obligation this evening. He will not be with us. So he asked Jessica if she would be so kind as to step in for him. And she said, of course. So you may not know Jessica, but she is of the Science Fiction Film Podcast. She does plenty of those episodes. And she is the Game of Thrones podcast host. So how you doing tonight, Jessica?
I'm doing all right. I also did host a Walking Dead podcast one time, and it was actually an Abraham episode.
The one where he was banging Rosita in the library.
And now he's trying to bang somebody else in the office building. It's just like a game of Clue.
I like your style. Well, that's interesting that you herald in the sexual proclivity of Abraham
as a host.
I think that's righteous.
Well, thank you.
Well, we watched this episode a couple times. I watched it Sunday night late. I did not get to see the original run because I was podcasting.
Oh, I did, and the internet knows I did.
Yeah, you posted a lot thinking you weren't going to be a host, but last minute.
Yeah, I had to stop posting on all social media. Don't worry, guys, I didn't forget about you. It's just once I found out I was going to host, I was like, shit, I better stop blowing my load on this Facebook comment page.
That's a good call. So she reined in her load blowing, and now she's here to finish up with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
So we just got done watching the episode again, taking some notes, and we're going to do this how we always do it. We're going to go through our opening thoughts on this episode. We're going to run through this episode. I think sequentially makes sense.
Seems reasonable.
And then we will get to our listener comments at the end and then wrap with our final thoughts. And that's what we're going to do. So, Jessica, I actually didn't read a lot of your comments because I don't host comments usually because there's other people that I need to get to. So to be honest with you, with the exception of observing various facial features and expressions while watching the episode this time around with you, since we didn't watch together originally, I think I have a general idea as to what your feeling is on this episode, what your opening feelings are on this episode, but I don't want to take my word for it. I'd like to hear it from you, Jessica. So tell me your initial impressions about Always Accountable.
Well, Dean, I hated this episode.
Wow. Hate is such a strong word.
I think about The Walking Dead and like episodes I've strongly disliked. And like most episodes have something redeeming about them, something interesting. And this was like a whole load of crap. It was boring. It was like a snooze fest. I hate this Abraham and Sasha thing. I hate it. I have so much to say about it. It makes me literally want to vomit. Okay. I hate that Daryl will not cut his hair or take a shower. I don't like that either. Daryl's starting to annoy me. I'm sorry, people of the world who are obsessed with him, but I am like bored out of my skull with him. It was just like, get me back to Alexandria. The end. That's how I felt this whole episode.
That's how you felt.
It was the worst.
Didn't like it. Not a fan.
Not even a little. Worst episode of the season by far.
Worst episode of the season by far. You liked it less than the episode before it.
Yeah, I'd rather watch Carl get into a bitch fight with that other kid like Ron, any day of the week.
I like your style. All right, so my initial impressions were, I watched it late Saturday night. I checked the Facebook page and I thought, holy shit, people do not like this episode. How come? My initial impressions were, okay, I guess when I was watching Always Accountable, I kept waiting for something significant to happen. And nothing significant ever happened. And I think that's my problem with the episode. On a second viewing, I kind of missed the Sasha Abraham stuff. I had just got done with the podcasts. We were recording Hackers late, so we were kind of off our game, and I was a little disheveled, so I kind of was half paying attention and various other excuses, but I didn't realize everything that was going on between Abraham and Sasha. And then I watched it again this evening, and I thought there's a lot of things going on between these two, and it will really need to be addressed by me. But I will also say that I don't really understand why he is into her when he has a perfectly attractive lady back at the other place.
No.
So we're going to have to get... going to have to slap the old rubber gloves on and dig deep on that one. But before we do, why don't we just start with this thing right at the beginning? So we open on Daryl, Sasha, and Abraham leading the herd away. And they're driving around. They come to this little town and gunfire erupts. There's an ambush. The gang kind of gets separated. Daryl ratchets it up and speeds off, and they kind of get separated. And then we get this kind of shootout. Abraham and Sasha shoot the shit out of some people in a car. And we realize that they've now been separated from Daryl.
Correct.
And then Sasha says something about, what the hell are you grinning about? There could be more. And Abraham just sort of thrives in combat.
Yeah, Abraham's all happy and he wants to kill some more walkers. And Sasha's kind of a killjoy. And so they just stop because she's like, no, Abraham, I will not allow you to kill more walkers. Unnecessary, sir.
Right. Well, they killed some people first, right? Those are some people they killed.
And then Abraham wanted to kill walkers, and Sasha said no.
So I like how the group, it's funny, I think about the way this group reacts to, say, the Alexandrians, you know, shit gets ugly and they just open fire and...
the Carroll school of thought.
Yeah, they just get to work, you know, they get to work defending themselves, doing what they need to survive. I think they used an awful lot amount of bullets on that car. I wasn't sure if that was the best move, but hey, whatever. They wanted to be thorough. They didn't want to take any chances that somebody leans out of that car, shot up, and shoots one of them. So they wanted to really make sure they were doing the right thing. But we quickly leave Abraham and Sasha alone, and we jump right over to Daryl.
Yes.
So Daryl drives into a burned-out forest. He wipes out a little.
Yeah.
And then he gets the bike back up. Not sure what his problem is.
Me neither.
I'm not sure what his
problem
is.
Other than that he's annoying me.
He's annoying you, huh?
Oh my God. Everyone in this episode was annoying. And I know everyone loves Daryl, but like I love Abraham and he even annoyed me.
I do too, and he annoyed me too. There are some things he did that I liked though, but we'll get to that.
There's one thing that he did that I liked in the whole episode.
So we get this top-down shot of Daryl laying down and he looks over at this helmeted walker.
Yeah, which is weird.
Was that like a kid that fell off the bike and burned and it was still alive because his brain was intact and it turned into a walker? Or was its whole body obliterated? Like, I was thinking that might have been a kid that was on a bike.
I don't know what that was. I don't understand this. I don't know if they were trying to be artsy. I just don't know, and I don't like it.
Well, let's talk about artsy.
Okay.
They have a top-down shot of Daryl.
Vomit, yeah.
You don't like that?
No, because I don't understand about the stupid little body next to him from the bike thing. Like, I don't care.
Right. But I'm talking about the shot itself.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the shot is lovely, but I was so annoyed. Like, why is that biker there?
But there's been two shots like this in this episode and then in the prior episode. In this episode, we get a top-down shot of Daryl laying down next to a corpse, right? Next to a walker corpse. In the previous episode, we have a top-down shot of Ron after he gets pushed down to the ground by Carl, you know, because he has pneumonia or something. He's coughing after he gets shoved to the ground.
I wish that this was a video podcast and everyone can see the face that I'm making right now. Because it is of pure disgust.
But I think it's interesting, and I don't want to get too conspiratorial here, but I think it's interesting.
Ron's going to kill Daryl.
I don't know.
Make people everywhere just die because Ron's such a loser.
I don't know about that. Maybe they're both going to die. Maybe they're both going to be responsible for somebody else dying. But they both get this kind of similar, like, laid out top-down shot of them where death is the subject. One is there's this biker person dead. I don't know if it's a kid. It doesn't matter. It's somebody who died and their brain's intact because of the helmet and they're still moving around. It's weird. It's death. And then Ron saying, you'll die, right? Doesn't he say you're going to die to Carl if you go out there, basically? And it's just top-down shot of him laying there kind of like Daryl was laying. Yeah, like he's Doc Holliday. So I thought, I kind of was like, that's very interesting. I don't know about this. So I don't know if they're trying to tell us something. I don't know if this is a clever use of foreshadowing that's subtle, but I don't know.
you know, Ron hasn't wanted to cut his hair in a few episodes. Like, I think there's more to it than just this one shot.
He definitely has his hair, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Jesse wanted to cut his hair, and he's like, no, Mom, you can't cut my
That's
hair.
That's a good point.
And he probably is going to stop showering.
Yeah, I want to be like, Daryl, Mom. Oh, he didn't kill Dad. Maybe that's what's going on.
It's very possible.
You could be right about that.
Because Rick gets haircuts from Jesse, and Daryl certainly doesn't.
Yeah, I don't think Daryl does much bathing at all, to be honest with you.
Oh, my God. I can't with the bangs in his face in this episode. Listen, it's uncomfortable when there are bangs in your eyes.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if people understand that, but as a woman, I've had bangs. It is uncomfortable when they are in your eyeballs. Nobody just walks around with bangs in their eyeballs unless they are a goth girl in high school.
Wait a second. When you say as a woman, what does that mean? Like, you mean people who identify as a woman, or is this like, are you being sexist? I can't tell.
Maybe. I don't know. Just saying, women have bangs more often than men.
Yeah, that's true. Although people are, there's a lot of kids now doing that like weird Braun thing, except a little longer. Well, look at fucking Carl, for Christ's sakes.
He also needs a haircut and it's disgusting.
Yeah, I think Jessie's going to have a lot of work with her new haircut salon.
Seriously.
Yeah. In between trying to coax her big bitch of a son downstairs with cookies.
He ain't Carol's cookies. He ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, that's a good point. So opening credits, boom. We come back and we have Daryl pushing his bike through more burned out woods. There are lots of corpses, a lot of burning. And he dumps his bike down and kind of limps away, and he radios for Sasha.
Oh, God.
So he's banged up from laying down the bike.
Yeah. Daryl hurt his hand.
No, I think he hurt his elbow. But let's talk about that.
Oh, let's.
So he tries the radio, static, nothing happens. Then Daryl assesses his injuries. He ditches the jacket. Women everywhere swoon.
Except for me right now.
With them shoulders and those biceps of his. And then I wrote, he has a skinned elbow, big fucking deal.
This is what I wrote.
I wrote that.
I wrote, by the way, I've gotten worse injuries rollerblading when I was 10.
Rollerblading.
That's what
back,
I wrote.
Bringing it back to the Hackers episode from the science fiction.
Didn't even
podcast.
Listen to that shit. My psychic ability.
There you go. So
that's
yeah,
what I wrote.
That's Daryl's injuries. He's grimacing like he's got an arrow in his leg.
I'm sorry, Herschel had a leg chopped off. Okay. Rick like sliced his hand open entirely with a knife. The governor had his eyeball stabbed out. And Daryl's crying because he skinned his elbow.
Yeah,
like, are the women of the world,
ignore the pain that the biters cause you and move on with your life.
I just want to know if like the women of the world who are like in love with Daryl, and I know that you're so many in number and can send me so much hate mail. But like, do you think he's a puss right now? Because I don't understand how someone cannot think he's a puss. Crying.
I don't know
elbow.
What you're talking about, girl. But when I saw those glistening arms in that Georgia sunshine, I was thinking he'd grab my hips any day.
Ew.
That's their thinking. Ew, she says. Wow.
He's got to shower and stop crying.
Get the hair out of his eyes.
My God, get a haircut. Or put your hair behind your ears.
Well, listen. Daryl is in pain. He hides his bike. He grabs his crossbow.
And he hides his pain.
Oh, shit.
I'm a strong man.
He hides his bike and then hides his pain. He's like, I got me a scraped elbow, but I think I'm going to survive because I'm strong. That's what he says.
I feel like he could sing like a country song about this.
He might be able to, but like you said, there have been others who have sustained worse. What about Cam? Chopped his arm off with one swing from a gookery knife.
Right? You see him crying like a little bitch.
He
was just like, hey, just cut my arm off and let's go.
Walk it off with the sharpest knife of all time that slices through flesh and bone like a knife through warm butter.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, not bad.
Pretty sure it doesn't work that way.
I wouldn't fuck with Cam. So anyway.
Cam or Wade?
Cam is the guy who got his arm cut off.
Wade's
the one
who sliced. I wouldn't steer clear of both of those.
I don't think we're going to have a choice. I think they're part of another group that's going to become.
Yeah, but I know who's the leader of that group.
I bet you do. So Daryl hides his shit and then he hears something. And then Daryl does this thing. Again, this is why I wish we had a video show. He does this thing with his crossbow where he holds it up real high like he's forging across a fucking river and he doesn't want to get it wet. I don't understand it. He holds it way up like this. Like, he's got it real high, and then he kind of brings it down, like, to normal height. But I'm like, why are you holding your crossbow so high? But anyway, he runs into Tina and Sherry, who are like, hey, we earned what we took, and they're giving him dialogue he doesn't understand.
Yeah.
And then he gets ambushed by a man named Dwight. Whack! Down he goes, and that's that. We're going on an assumption that this man's name is Dwight based on the credits. We hope we're not wrong.
Yeah, we have no effing clue.
We're going to call him Dwight. The first thing I thought about Dwight, and I'm not sure what you thought about him, but I thought, now this looks like somebody that came from the loins of Reg, Indiana. He looks like her. He's thin in the face. He's kind of sunken face looking. He looks like he could be a member of Alice in Chains when they were way down in the hole, if you know what I mean, right? he definitely gives me that vibe. Down in a hole and I don't. Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Heroin. That's what it is. So, yeah. Daryl wakes up later.
After, like, the you know, the artsy-fartsy, like, oh, I'm coming in and out of a blackout and hearing some shit, not hearing some
shit. I don't
mind
that POV.
No, I'm fine with that. I'm just being really harsh on this episode. Sorry.
Yeah.
Gotta relax. Gotta rein it in.
You're not going to be able to relax with coffee, but that's okay. So, the dude, you know, he wakes up and they urge him to get up.
They say during his blackout thing that they're looking for Patty.
Yes.
And then, you know, Daryl wakes up and he says, I'm not who you think I am.
Sure.
Basically.
Sure. And they and the group heads off into the woods with Daryl as their prisoner. And then Sherry is kind of urging Tina to drink, stay hydrated, all works together. So something's wrong with Tina right off the bat.
Yeah, and something's wrong with this whole group, because why the fuck do they bring Daryl with them? And I know later it's like, oh, we're going to trade you to them. Really? That's what you were
going
to do?
I think they brought Daryl because here's what I think is going on. Let's see if we can understand this group. Let's discuss
we can
them.
Try, but I am not feeling good about it.
So Dwight and Sherry and Tina are in the woods. They were part of, let's just go ahead and say it, Negan's group. Right? He's going to be the leader of these people.
Yeah, he is. I hope. We're just guessing that.
We're going to guess. We're going to guess Wade's the right-hand man. They never show Wade's face. It's very deliberate.
Yeah, I saw his face because I went on the IMDb page.
So they never show his face. And I'm guessing they were part of this group. I don't know anything about this group. Didn't read the comic, neither did Jessica. They break
some of it.
These guys break away from this group. And now they're on the run. And they owe this group something, so this group is in pursuit of them.
Yes, because originally my thought when this episode starts, are these wolves?
Definitely.
And then I'm like,
not.
Do they think Daryl is a wolf? And then as we progress, I'm like, nope, this is our second half of season 6 bad guys.
Correct.
And that's Jeffrey Dean Morgan and co.
Correct. I agree 100% with that. They're not wolves. They don't act like wolves. They're not ruthless. They didn't just kill Daryl. They're not running around like savages on crazy drugs. And they actually talk to Daryl. They take him with them. They're going to try to ply Daryl back to them for, I don't know what exactly, maybe a transgression, something about fuel we learn about later. But this group's on the run and they assume Daryl's tracking them from the group.
Correct.
Which
so
is interesting. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
That was my next point. So if they assume Daryl's part of Negan or Wade's group, we'll just say Wade at this point, Wade's group, then this must be a big group if they were part of the group and have never seen Daryl before.
Yes.
He wasn't at any of the meetings.
Where was he at the town meeting when someone's throat got slit?
Yeah, he wasn't there. Nope, he sure wasn't. So anyway, the group wants Daryl to drink. So they want Daryl to stay well. We don't need you passing out. And they tell Daryl, we don't feel the need to kneel. Everyone has a code. So there's a lot of like kneeling shit. I don't know if they're forced to give BJs to the commanders of this group. So I don't know.
I don't know
but they
either.
Say kneeling a lot.
A bunch of times.
Yeah. So like, they got some kind of weird ritual.
There's a comic book listener somewhere who's like, yeah, you dummies. That's because that's what Negan does.
Yeah. But we're not here to spoil things in the future.
I'm just guessing.
Just things that have passed
saying.
In the show. So then we have Sherry and Tina, we get kind of like there's a commercial or something. And then Sherry and Tina are recalling some place. It's not home anymore. Dwight tells them that this is a pit stop to pick up Patty.
Yeah, Patty.
So they mention someone named Patty, although I think at the end it's something named Patty. And I think that thing is a truck. But enough about that. So Tina wants to know how Dwight did whatever he did.
Yeah.
So it's at this point where we start to get this weird backstory about how Dwight says he took this truck, opened a valve, drove it into the woods from Farmview Road. Then he ran back to the tree line till he got to the pavement, lit a matchbook, dropped it on the trail, ran to a car, and boom. Then he came and went to work with his axe on all these walkers that were burning and could not get at him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so at this, I didn't understand the logistics of this at first.
Me either at all.
So apparently there was a bunch of walkers in this wood. And they opened up some valves. I think he drove a fuel truck through this thing, spilling gas everywhere, lit it up. The flame reached this truck, kaboom, blew the shit out of half this forest and all these walkers. And then he just went and started hacking up the ones that weren't totally dead because their bodies were all burned out. They were alive, no brain injuries, but they couldn't get to them. And I'm getting the impression that that's kind of what was going on here. And I like the part where he says, where Dwight says, they walked to the flame. So they just walked into the flame because it attracted them, which was kind of cool.
Which makes sense because also, isn't this what Nicholas and Glenn planned to do a few episodes back? If they set a fire, it would distract the walkers.
They did. They did, absolutely.
Look what happened to them.
And how
probably
about the Morgan
nothing.
Episode when he was burning them and they just kept coming, right?
Yeah.
So this makes
fire.
Me, you know what this makes me think
about?
You got
a theme going on.
It takes me back to Rick's plan. I wonder if they could have done some kind of giant fire death to the ones in the quarry instead of leading them all over hell and back.
That seems reasonable.
And here's the other thing I was thinking would be really cool. I don't know if this is the case, but when you think about the themes of Walking Dead, you think about certain things, right? You mm-hmm. think about they meet Herschel, they go through all the shit, they run into the governor wants things his way, Rick wants his things, wants things the other way. There's this conflict, then we get to Alexandria, and they have a conflict with the group because they're not as savage as Rick's group because they haven't had to be, and all this shit. It's been very hard to root for anybody besides Rick and his group ever.
Correct.
The Alexandrians don't want to help themselves, so it frustrates you. You want them to not die and not cause problems. You want them to fight for themselves. You want them to stand up for themselves, right? And I'm always thinking, how are they going to project Terminus? They're trying to eat you. They're aggressing
on... Yep, that's unfortunate.
They're aggressing on you and your group. They're causing problems, right? The Claimers did the same shit. They were coming after you to take your shit. And it's easy to always root for Rick's group. I thought, how cool would it be if... this whole fucking plan that they did at Alexandria to lead these walkers away dumped 2,000 zombies on Negan's camp and like people Negan cared about got killed as a result of this. Leading the walkers away, oh shit, we just walked them into a settlement where all these people were and now you're responsible for these deaths because of this fucking plan you had. Like, that's a really cool conflict, and I think there's a real good opportunity for Walking Dead to do something like that with this horde of zombies, like dump them on somebody by accident and then cause a conflict. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really cool because then you'd be like, well, obviously I'm still rooting for Rick, but holy shit, they really fucked up. They caused a lot of unnecessary death with this kind of half-brained plan, and then they caused these people who are trying to live peaceably, doing their thing, for this to happen to them.
Yeah, that's true.
Instead of just making the bad guys so easy to be bad guys and for us to be like, eh, you know, it's like that. One of the great benefits of Game of Thrones, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I know a lot of you guys don't listen to that or watch it, but
what's wrong with
is that there's all these different people and you're kind of cheering for all of them and they're all in conflict with each other.
Except for a couple.
Right. But my point is that I think there's an opportunity here for The Walking Dead. Wouldn't it be cool if this fucking crazy plan that Rick had to lead these zombies away, that's something nobody's been talking about. Well, maybe they have been, but not on this show. And none of our listeners have been talking about, what if these zombies get dumped on some innocent person's fucking like compound or community and they just wreak havoc on everyone? I think that's really a really cool thought.
What if these zombies end up in the Fear the Walking Dead universe and eat all of those people?
That's a possibility.
Just saying, I'd be cool with that.
Real riveting. Real nice addition there. Wouldn't it be cool if all the people in the other show died because of Rick?
I'd be like, good job, Rick.
That's what Jessica wants. So anyway, here's one thing I hate about Daryl's behavior in this episode. Why doesn't he try to assuage them that he's not part of this group?
He says it like a couple times.
Not really.
He says it all mumbles McJoe, like how he always is.
He's mumbles McJoe for sure. And that's a fucking problem. Open your fucking mouth, bro. Spit the cotton balls out of your mouth. Spit the craw out of your mouth. Spit the fucking Copenhagen out of your mouth and say, hey, guys, I am not part of this group. I'm part of another group. We were doing a run. Here's what happened. I got separated from these people. I'm not part of this group. I have no interest in you whatsoever. Have you seen me before? Walking Dead doesn't do this shit all the time. There's a lot of times in the show where people should talk and they never talk. They just kind of casually mention shit. Like, hey, shouldn't we discuss some things first? It's never, you're always like, shouldn't they be talking about this or shouldn't they be talking about that? And that's something we've said on many episodes in this podcast. People need to open their fucking mouths and communicate things and they just don't. And that's kind of silly because people would say something, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
Anyway, I know Daryl's a man.
Herschel was around.
I know Daryl's a man of few words. I'm not saying everyone needs to have a fucking powwow about everything, but I'm just saying you wouldn't, if somebody captured you and thought you were part of some group that was aggressing on them, wouldn't you say, I'm not part of that group. I don't know how else I can convince you. Let me tell you the story about my group. Here it is. But no, they don't in favor of let's make it weird and dramatic and nobody fucking talks to people.
And the point of this too, that is, makes it even more ridiculous. It's not that like Daryl is a man of few words. Daryl's job at Alexandria is a recruiter.
Right.
It's his fucking job to go out and do what Aaron did.
Yes.
I'm sorry. So if he's going out and doing what Aaron does, is this how he does it? Is this why he hasn't brought anyone back? Is this why Aaron is better at his job and has more job security?
For sure.
Because that's pretty bad.
Right. Right. Daryl's skill is he's a tracker, as Sasha says later in the episode. And that's been the truth forever. He's been good at that. He always has been. But that's the thing, you know, you have to say shit, man. You got to open your fucking mouth, brother. Just ain't going to cut it.
No,
right?
It's not.
Anyway, so the group presses on with prisoner Daryl in tow. They get to this Patrick Fuel Company place and there's some trucks and a bunch of walkers hanging out inside this fenced in area.
Yeah.
They utter the words, she's gone. The group is visibly shaken and they need to come up with another plan, they say. Then Tina passes out.
Oh, Tina, she's so sickening.
So Tina passes out because she's got some diabetes problems, which is very unfortunate in the fucking apocalyptic world.
Yeah, you know what? They're a little heavy-handed with the something's wrong with Tina shit, by the way. Like, oh, Tina, drink water. You have to stay hydrated. It all works together, you know? And Tina's like, you guys shouldn't have done this. For me, they're like, we'd do anything for you. And then later with a like box of fucking insulin where it says like insulin on the box. And I'm like, is that really how people carry their insulin?
I think they would, to be honest with you. I think they would to know it's cool, to know what it is, to know it's standing. I don't think the insulin writing on the cooler bothers me as much as the lead up stuff.
Oh, it's sickening. Lead up stuff.
Yeah. How come? Why does that bother you so much?
I don't know, because I think they're so heavy handed with it. I don't care about Tina at all.
Right.
Like even a little, not for 5 seconds.
So if you don't care about, but try to analyze it from a writing perspective, because I want to hear you. You can't just bash the episode for the whole podcast. You have to, the fans and I demand that you qualify your opinions with like well thought out stuff.
We meet people on The Walking Dead and immediately like, there are people you meet and you're like, this person is interesting.
Okay.
Like, I want to learn more about this person. And nothing about any of these three people made me want to learn more. I felt like they were like forcing it at you. I was like, this girl, Tina's sick. And here's all these hints that she's sick. Like, are you interested in her? Are you interested in what's next to come? And like, I don't need you to do that for me. Just give me an interesting character. Like, give me an Aaron who stumbles upon the camp. I'm like, I'm fucking fascinated by this guy. Right. Who is this guy?
Right.
Like, there's such a difference.
I like it. And I wonder why that is. Do you think it's because he just sort of shows up unannounced? Like, wouldn't it have been cooler, now that I'm trying to get into your mindset here, what if they get to the Patrick Fuel Company fence, no indication anything's wrong with Tina, and she just passes out?
That's a little more interesting.
Right. And then Daryl runs off.
And you're like, what the fuck just happened?
And then he discovers the insulin. I think it's more impactful, right?
I agree.
Yeah, okay. So
all the lead up just seems silly.
I got you. So you think they're trying to deliberately interest you with real heavy-handed stuff about the characters.
And in general, I find these three characters very uninteresting.
Gotcha.
I know the girl's hot, supposedly.
Oh, yeah. She's a looker. She's a looker, no doubt. Gotcha. So anyway, Daryl takes off. I like his instinct here. This is something I liked about this episode.
I agree.
Boom. As soon as there's a distraction, he grabs his bag and fucking runs.
Love it.
Awesome. That's Daryl.
Yes.
He reacts very quickly. He sprints off. He sprints away and immediately attempts to radio Sasha and Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
But the next moments are very weird.
Oh, I know.
Real weird. Really out of place. So Tina goes down. He snatches the bag. He runs. He tries to radio his comrades.
He runs fast. He's badass. Going.
That's Daryl.
He's a badass.
But who body snatches Daryl and acts like a giant puss bag when the fucking cool looking moss covered walker's coming at him?
Slow as fucking molasses.
And he's panicking that he can't get to his goddamn crossbow.
Yeah. How many times, Daryl, has something been coming at you fast and you've grabbed your crossbow?
How about, okay, I can't get my crossbow. I can handle Walker. I'm fucking Daryl Dixon.
I can just stand up and walk in the opposite direction until I get my fucking crossbow out.
How about what Karen Loma said? How about you just bash his fucking head in with a rock?
Yeah. How about you do fucking anything that you would do on a normal day that's not today? Like, what is wrong with you?
It's really weird behavior.
This is multiple weird things from him this episode so far.
This is very, very weird to me. Do you think that this is, they're trying to tell us something about Daryl's mindset lately?
Maybe he has diabetes. Maybe that's why we were so heavy-handed with the insulin.
He's fucking confused. He's like, I really could use some orange juice.
This is like some like a plot that would be like on Lost when like Sawyer thought he was dying and then he just needed glasses. Like that's what this would be. Like you're like, what the fuck is wrong with Daryl? Oh my God. And then it's like, oh my God, he's diabetic. Oh my God, we have all this insulin. Praise the Lord. Daryl is saved.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's almost like, you know, he's kind of been at odds with Rick a little bit. Let's talk about Daryl. Daryl hasn't done much. He hasn't gotten any screen time. Now he's got some screen time. He seems a little shaky Mary.
Yes.
He's rarely shaky Mary.
Falling off his little bike and crying at his elbow.
Yep. He's very high pitch count in the bottom of the eighth and
yes.
Fucking throwing at the number three batter.
Perfect game.
Needs a mound visit from Rick and everyone else.
Exactly.
Right? Hey, buddy. What's the matter?
That's a great metaphor. This is right on.
You don't like that?
Oh, you got it. Yeah.
So yeah. Hey buddy, you all right? No, maybe we got to go to the bullpen. Maybe you got to sit this one out. Give me the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the ball. Because apparently you're shitting your pants when a moss covered walker comes up to you and you don't have a weapon around you. You can't grab a stick. They took all your knives, which probably makes sense.
I'm sorry. It's one fucking walker.
Also,
get up and walk in another direction.
How about instead of trying to get the crossbow out of the bag, just grab a fucking knife, dude. They probably threw his knives in the bag. It's not, the guy didn't put the knives on him because he had the scabbards were still on,
mm-hmm.
on Daryl, right? So, or sheaths, so. Whatever the fuck you call them. I think sheath is an action and scabbard is a noun.
I think sheath is something you put a knife inside of.
Is it? I thought sheath
was a verb. I think you put a sword inside a sheath. I think you can sheath a knife.
I think sheath, why don't you look it up right now? Do you have something near you?
I think sheath
is a verb and scabbard is a noun. But maybe sheath has more than one meaning.
Well, I'll tell you what meanings it has right now.
Here's what I do know. I think Abraham would love to sheath his sword real deep into Sasha's scabbard.
A sheath noun, a close-fitting cover for something, especially something that is elongated in shape in particular, like a penis.
Okay.
It says like a penis. Like I'm just kidding.
I was like, what the fuck? Merriam-Webster's really changed.
A cover for a blade of a knife or sword.
Okay, so sheath.
Sheath. Plural, sheets, synonyms, scabbard, case. This is in a quote. Put the sword in its sheath, followed by put the penis in it. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't say anything about penis.
It shows a picture of Abraham smiling.
And Sasha.
Thumbs up with dolphins diving behind him. I don't know. Did dolphins make that noise?
I think so.
Okay.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Not a dolphin expert.
What do you think? Rosita saunters in all sexy and shit into his room and he's like, hey, baby, sitting on the edge of the bed. You got a fucking candle or whatever the fuck he does, you know, to look, you know, less garish, low light, you know. Turns on the music. Flipper, flipper, king of the sea. He's like, I don't know. I just like this. Come on. Let's get going. You're about to get dicked hard. So anyway.
Wow.
Back to this episode, not the fantasy episode.
We're making right now, apparently. It's really uncomfortable.
And then he nuts right when Flipper punches the football through the uprights. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Perfect timing.
Ew.
Yeah, this is a kid's show, by the way.
I know. Jesus. I was gonna share this on my Facebook all excited that I was a host, but after that joke, I don't know.
Oh, boy. Ugh. I didn't realize you were such a Puritan.
Not politically correct enough for me.
So anyway, yeah. Are they trying to say Daryl's getting soft? Are they trying to say...
I'm trying to say Daryl's getting soft.
You're saying it. I like your style.
I'm going to get hate mail big time.
He was really bummed about his skinned elbow.
Oh, God.
And then he panicked when he had to fight a walker. A walker!
Just one.
Without his trusted crossbow.
It was just one dude.
Yeah, weird.
He doesn't even have any problem when 50 dudes are shooting at him and stuff earlier, but whatever.
Yeah. And the music was really like trying to amp up the tension in this scene.
Yeah, like I was scared for a second that the zombie was going to eat Daryl. I wish that zombie would have eaten Daryl and then people would have forgotten all about Glenn.
Whoa. I think they've already forgotten about
Glenn.
That's
true. I'm pretty sure no one gives a shit about Glenn anymore. So when the producers bring him back and they think people are going to be happy, people are going to be like, we moved on.
Yeah.
We moved on from that.
It's kind of like you make somebody wait so long for something that it kind of loses its novelty.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Daryl realizes that Tina is diabetic because he sees the insulin. So he's like, oh.
Poor little bitch.
He's like, oh, fuck. So we go back to Abraham and Sasha continuing to look for Daryl.
Oh, God.
Abraham guesses that whoever ambushed them was looking for someone in particular. So far, so good.
Yeah, I'm fine. No problems yet. I'm fine with this shit.
Abraham wants to go looking, but Sasha says, hey, Daryl's a great tracker. If we wait here, he'll probably double back this way. She alludes to that.
Best way to find a tracker is to stay put. Let him find you.
Correct. That's actually really good advice.
I am okay right now, even though Sasha's my worst favorite character on the show.
So let's talk about the next couple of things that happen. Let's talk about the Sasha and Abraham dynamic. Let's just run through this shit, shall we?
Oh, God. Okay.
Ready?
Ready.
So Sasha doesn't want Abraham to run off and kill that walker.
Yeah, which Dean says is okay. But I'm like, listen, don't you want to kill walkers? Like, isn't that the point? So they don't go back to your camp and eat your people? Just saying.
I am on Sasha's side still.
Fine.
So you have one mark against Sasha. I do not at this point.
I should keep tallies.
Okay, so you currently have one mark against Sasha.
Jessica Dean.
Okay. I have no marks against her.
Okay.
I have a positive mark. You have a negative mark. Let's do it that way. And then we'll tally them up at the end.
Negative, positive. We have two positives. I have one positive.
What's my second positive?
The tracker thing and then not killing the walker. Yep.
So I have 2 points in her favor today. You have... zero currently. Yeah. Okay. They washed. Those points washed.
My points washed.
Okay.
Oh, enough. But they're going to go down real soon.
And let me explain why. Her quote is, we don't need to leave breadcrumbs. I don't think that that's a bad idea. Here's what I think. I think a freshly killed zombie, if people are that you just got into a gun battle with, if any of them come looking and you're hiding out and you're waiting for Daryl, you don't want to alert people that you might be nearby by leaving dead walkers. If this group is competent enough, if they have their own kind of Daryl, he's going to look and be like, this guy was freshly killed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm giving them too much the benefit of the doubt, but maybe. I'm kind of with Sasha. Let him roam. So I'm okay with it.
Okay.
So the two enter an office building. Abraham finds this military dress uniform festooned with medals and ribbons.
Yes.
Right. Then he comes into the office. And boom, there's kind of like this jump moment where there's this conference room that has a glass wall and a door. And there's a walker in there slapping his face against a thing. And literally 6 feet away with a pane of glass separating them sits Sasha. And Abraham asks, how come Gorgeous over here still standing? And then Sasha says,
I don't kill walkers no more.
And then Sasha, after going on walker genocide mode last season... take 1 point away from me now for Sasha's behavior currently.
Okay. And I also have a negative for this.
Here's my problem with this. This is just stupid.
Yeah. I was waiting for that walker to come out and fucking eat somebody. Let me
tell
you.
This is just dumb. Say you're in your cute little office building and shit gets hectic and the window breaks because these guys find you and now you're fighting a walker. Kick the door down, kill the walker, you dummy.
I agree.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not like there's a walker going the other direction and you're going to run up and kill him and leave a trail.
Literally, if you're in a fight and that door breaks, that walker eats you.
You're going to sleep here. This is very dangerous behavior and stupid.
Agreed.
Just throwing it out there. I don't think... I understand Sasha's kind of entering this whatever mode, whatever this posts I was the fucking... basically, I was like... the fucking Hitler to the walkers last episode, just killing everything in my path. And now she's turning over this new humanitarian leaf for her fellow walkers that she slept with and communed with. Some weird shit.
She's going to start a barn and start keeping them all in there. Just yeah, like Herschel.
Right, right. So
find Glenn in there in a few months.
That was good. Nice, nice. Who was the girl's name?
Sophia.
Sophia callback. Well done. Yeah. They just see Glenn like, but it's a fucking...
Maggie's like, no. Daryl's like, I got it, Maggie. No, Aaron's like, I got it, Maggie.
He's got a Domino's hat on and the flare gun. Ah, it's definitely Glenn. Fuck. So, anyway. Then Sasha's like, hey, do you want to stay and watch or sleep?
Abraham's like, well, duh, I'm not going to sleep.
I'll stay and watch. And that's when Abraham kind of starts looting the office, making all this noise. It's not like she's going to be able to sleep in that office.
Yeah, he's like, I got to figure out what I'm going to wear with my military uniform.
This Walker's existence is really going up Abraham's ass sideways because he says, "Huh? You have no idea how much you want to release this thing from this plane of existence."
Yeah.
He chuckles and suggests that they're in their new home. And this is where Sasha kind of starts the psychology.
Oh, God. No, she starts whining. I was supposed to be alone. Shut up, Sasha.
She's not whining here. You're wrong about that. All she's saying...
points for this for me.
Okay. She's not whining about her situation here.
No, she's whining that Abraham went with her.
No, she's saying you had a choice. She's telling him he's the whiner. Like, you didn't have to come with me. You wanted to come with me. You were out of control, he says. You almost took my arm off. And then she says she's in control now. She doesn't think Abraham is because he's bloodthirsty, I guess. That's kind of what she's trying to say.
Yeah.
And then he says, I don't like loose ends. They make my ass itch.
Yep.
Which I get, especially the thing in the conference room.
Definitely make my ass itch.
He talks about the shit continually hitting the fan. That's why he has been unable to make choices, because he's been in the shit, so to speak. And he's just been doing what he needs to survive. And Sasha says, that's not true. You got a roof over your head. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have walls, you have food, therefore you have choices. Without walkers and bullets, you're accountable for your choices and you can't hide behind the noise.
Yes.
What do you think's going on here? And try your best to not just say Sasha's dumb.
Well, she is. But, I mean, it's basically talk of like being accountable. Before, when you're out there in the fucking wild and then there's walkers and you're at Terminus and you're like, you know, saving your life constantly, that's something different. You're not accountable for your actions. The situation is completely different. It's not normal human life.
Right.
But when they're in Alexandria, that normal human life element comes back in. The things you do, people notice. So Abraham can't go around killing walkers willy-nilly for fun anymore without somebody taking notice and being like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And Sasha can't go fucking sleeping with walkers and having a dirt nap and then freaking out at the Alexandria like welcoming party. Mm-hmm. Like, which Abraham brings up is her at that party.
Yep.
Because people will notice now. They wouldn't notice before because there was too much else going on. But now the things that happen matter in a way they haven't in a long time.
Right.
Because there's some semblance of safety.
What do you think about this rhetoric?
I mean, it is true that you cannot get away with the same things in the circumstance they're in now that you could before. People will take notice more. Like Daryl's an example of that. Daryl, you know, go fucking cry in the woods and be Daryl. And then he moves into this town and like he's got like two gay best friends and he's got a job.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I completely
not
wrap my head around this thing. Other than that, based on what you're saying is this. What Sasha's trying to do here is she's trying to tell Abraham that... It's almost like you're not really in a war zone speech. Cool your jets. Relax. You got to integrate yourself back into society. You have choices. Things aren't what they were anymore because we've kind of made it proverbially, right? Mm-hmm. They're in this Alexandria town and now things have changed. And I don't know. It's hard for me to wrap my head around this. It's hard for me to just understand this whole thing. I really struggle with this part of this episode.
I think it comes a little out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden, Sasha doesn't kill Gabriel.
Yeah.
And now she's preaching to him, right?
Yeah, is that where this all comes from now? Like, she was like, hey, I was crazy, but then I let some guy live, and now I'm not crazy, and you are. And right. Let me help you find inner peace.
Sure. It's real weird. Negative 1 point for Sasha from me.
Yeah, I don't like any of it.
You already gave her negative for this. You can't.
I know. I don't like this stuff with Sasha and Abraham. I haven't liked it since the black and white episode where she was watching him when he put his wedding ring on the bottle. Mm-hmm. When he was drinking. Mm-hmm. Like, from they're that second, I was like, I don't like what I'm seeing here, and I don't like what I think they're trying to build to. From that second, I'm like, this is not going to work for me. And now we're really getting into it heavy, and it does not work for me. This pairing of these two in any circumstance does not work for me. The actors have zero chemistry.
I think what's interesting about this, just from a group dynamic choice, is that, okay, so suppose Sasha's going on this pilgrimage after sparing Father McSweaty's life, and then she decides she's going to turn over a new life and be more civilized and not be going off the fucking deep end because she lost her brother, okay?
Her brother?
Tyrese.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about him. She also lost her boyfriend, Bob.
Yeah, I know.
R.I.P. Bob. You're already trying to bang a new guy, Sasha.
Well, I don't fault her for that. But so what happened? What's wrong with Rosita? Why is the show now more interested in Sasha than Rosita and Abraham? Why is that happening now? Because think about this. If Sasha wants to cool her jets, relax, why is she on the mission?
Yes.
Stay home and let Rosita go.
Or anybody else.
They dolled Rosita up, and now she's what? A fucking stay-at-home mom while Abraham's off doing the hunting? Like, I don't get it. Why did they make this paradigm shift to put Sasha in this? Is Sasha more competent, militarily speaking? She was just kind of going off the deep end not that long ago. Rosita's always been competent, right?
Yes.
I'm not sure why she's having to sit on the bench, ride the bench, while Sasha's out here putzing around with Abraham. Do you think... I don't know. I just don't understand the choice for this Sasha thing.
I agree. I also don't like... Do you remember in the last episode, Rosita crying?
I do.
Like, looking out of the walkers, thinking about her poor love, Abraham, hoping he was alive.
I do.
Which, by the way, is... Rosita's a tough chick. Mm-hmm. I don't think she fucking stands off looking over the walkers crying about her lost love, Abraham.
Why not? She went out alone, and then Spencer kind of interrupted it.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so then fine. But I don't know. Like, I just keep thinking about, like, okay, this build up to this Abraham and Sasha thing and this, like, throwing Rosita to the wolves and being done with her, I just don't understand
it
at all.
It's a weird choice.
I don't understand it at all. Yeah. I don't understand... I'm fine with there being relationships on the show. I am. Like, some of them I'm pro. Some of them I'm anti.
Sure.
I know everybody ships whatever they ship. But I don't understand why you're going to put this couple, Rosita and Abraham, together. And you had Sasha with Bob, who just passed away however long ago. And all of a sudden you're like, well, let's put these two together. Because for what reason?
Well,
why is Rosita
jumping,
a totally different character?
You're jumping to the relationship part of this now. Do you want to just go ahead and talk about that now and come back to Daryl?
No, I mean, I can wait, but...
Well, you're in the zone. Why don't we just talk about it now?
Okay, fine.
Why don't we talk a little bit... Why don't we just do this? Why don't we finish off Abraham and Sasha? And then we'll come back to Daryl and we'll finish off Daryl. Do you want to do that?
Sounds good.
All right. So the next morning, Abraham strikes out. He walks across a bridge... And he finds a soldier impaled on this fence post. He's hanging off the bridge. And then he finds these three RPG rockets.
Oh, I know what they were. I wrote weaponry.
Well,
I wrote weaponry and cigars.
It's a rocket-propelled grenade, and he finds some Donna Maria cigars, I guess. I don't know if that's what they're called, but that's what the box said.
Well,
so
that's probably what they're called.
He crawls across the down fence to where the soldier walker is, and he kind of has this face-to-face clutching moment where he screams very intensely.
Yeah.
Then he crawls back off, lights a cigar, sits down. Then the soldier kind of slips off the post, falls to the ground, leaving the RPG launcher behind.
What a beautiful coincidence I wrote.
No, it's not. I think this is a bit of storytelling here.
Okay.
So Walker. Abraham wanted to kill this Walker.
Mm-hmm.
After this conversation with Sasha, he has this real inner struggle. I want to kill this Walker and I don't. Right. His eyes flash to the patch. Right. He was in the military. There's this camaraderie. This must feel shitty for him.
Mm-hmm.
He screams. And he fends off, here's what I'm thinking happens. He fends off the urge to kill the walker because of the conversation he had with Sasha, which I don't know. I don't know why, but he does. So the conversation he has with Sasha gets to him and he decides, I'm going to scream. I'm going to have this turmoil. I'm going to back off, sit down, light up my cigar, and look what happens.
Yeah, divine intervention.
Or maybe the storytelling is trying to tell us, because he didn't kill the walker, because he didn't stab it in the head, and he sat down and he waited for a minute, a good thing happened.
That's true.
He gets the RPG launcher.
Because he wouldn't have, if not, he couldn't have gone that. Even if he stabbed the thing in the head, that thing would have fallen over with his weight on it. He couldn't have reached
possibly,
it.
Possibly. Yep.
So I remember thinking that. I'm like, is Abraham just going to like basically fall off this thing?
Yep. Maybe as a result of the walker struggling, it falls, it rips itself off. The RPG launcher is left behind. He gets the RPG launcher. So by way of taking Sasha's advice, he is rewarded. I think that's kind of what they're trying to say here.
Aww.
Right? So he goes back to see her. He says, this is grade A butt steak stupidity. He talks about how he got this thing. Mm-hmm. By the way, I love how he throws the rocket, the RPG case up on the thing and just knocks all the shit over. It's just, it's so post-apocalyptic. Like, you don't care about the computer and the papers. It's like, all meaningless.
Whatever, yeah.
It's all meaningless. I like that. He slides it across the desk, knocks all the shit over, and he's like, hey, we're look at this shit. And that's when he starts to talk a little bit. And he says, we got beer and AC and walls, the table set for the rest of our lives. And we hope it's long and fruitful. I'm feeling the urge to make some plays before the great cosmic pea comes to cut my throat. I'm feeling the urge to make some plays before the great cosmic pea comes to cut my throat, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to go on a while before that. I like the way you call bullshit shot, Sasha. I'd like to get to know you a whole lot better. When you're trapped in an office building with somebody that you're sexually attracted to, you don't say that unless you're looking to get some strange. And that's exactly what he does here.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you think I want that? A man can tell. Well, you got some stuff to take care of. Talk to me.
Okay. First of all, I love his quote about on the great cosmic Pete slitting his throat.
Awesome. Quote of the episode.
Always quotable, Abraham.
Absolutely.
Always. He would get pluses for me for this. And then he would get so many minuses for what is to come following that speech.
Yes.
But I like his thing. He's like, we're set in Alexandria. Like, I did not think I had a future before I was living paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. But now I do. And so I want to make some plays. Like, he never realized he could have a long life before. And now he does. Now suddenly he wants to get to know Sasha better.
Right.
I don't like this.
I don't either.
I do not think these actors have chemistry together. I don't think they carry a scene well together. I'm not a Sasha fan. I never have been.
Right. That's obvious.
I think that's been clear from like the start of Sasha being a character that I haven't been a fan of her. And I continue to not be a fan of her. I don't think this is going to be like Carol when I hated Carol and now she's my favorite character. I'm pretty sure Sasha is going to stay low.
Okay.
And this to me, when I saw this episode was coming and it was going to be Abraham and Daryl and Sasha, I'm like, this is not going to be a good episode because Sasha is someone who cannot carry an episode and she can't. And this proved it to me.
You're talking about the character, Sasha.
Yes.
She's just not well developed.
Right. Yes. And her and Abraham do not have any to me chemistry that makes me look at them and be like, okay, I'm interested in the dynamic between these two.
Right.
At all. Not as friends, not in any type of relationship. Of those two never cross paths, that would make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them together in any type of relationship, that they don't work to me.
Gotcha.
You know when you see chemistry, different types of chemistry 100%. Between people.
100%.
You know? Whether it's good or bad, like you see people see like chemistry between Daryl and Carol and people saw chemistry between Daryl and Beth and they're different things and they could mean different things and mm-hmm. it's not necessarily all romantic, but those actors have chemistry together.
Mm-hmm.
Like Norman Reedus yes. and Emily Kinney had great chemistry when they were together on screen.
Fair enough.
But these two do not have that at all.
Right.
At all. And Rosita's a likable character who I'd like to learn more about and I feel like they're just kind of like throwing her to the wolves, no pun intended.
So yeah, I kind of feel like I've been a Abraham fan for a long time now. I don't fault Abraham his choices, but this whole you got things to take care of, this is so oddly timed.
Mm-hmm.
You have a comrade missing. Sasha's coming out of this weird thing. She's going to start becoming more cognizant of her rage and her anger. She's trying to coach Abraham to do the same thing. And now you're going to introduce conflict by coming between Abraham and Rosita. Unless we are totally misreading
this. Oh, no, we're not. There is no misreading that. Right? She is saying to him, you have to break up with Rosita. And he is saying, yes, I do.
It's basically,
that is what that is.
I think so, too.
And that, to me, you're correct. Illy timed. They know there's bad shit going on at Alexandria. Rosita could be fucking dead, mm-hmm. right? They know there's gunfire and crazy shit coming from Alexandria. Bad enough that Daryl wanted to leave the group and go back there. Okay? So for all they know, Rosita was fucking killed and he's like already making his next move.
Right.
Like, this is so... Abraham strikes me, I don't know, as not this type of guy.
He strikes me as real loyal.
This was a married man who was married and had a wife and children that he loved.
Yeah, well, he had to smash their heads in with a can of tomatoes.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's unfortunate. and yeah, if he was like a womanizer and he was banging like a bunch of chicks, I'd be like, okay, well, okay, Sasha's the one girl who's different. But he hasn't been doing that. He's been in this thing with Rosita for as long as they've been in a group together. And it's not like the group has always just been the three of them. It was once a much bigger group, as Rosita explained. And then they've been part of this bigger group for a long time as well.
Right.
So it's not like Rosita was the only girl and that's why he was fucking her.
Right. Fact.
And he has stayed with her.
Fucking the hottest one.
Well, who knows what the group, who died from that group beforehand.
That's a good point.
But he has been with her throughout this entire thing. Now, all of a sudden, fucking Sasha, the most boring and annoying character on the show, is going to make him change his mind.
Yeah.
And no offense to this actress, but like Rosita is hot.
Right.
Just saying.
They're both attractive ladies, no question about it. But it is awfully weird that suddenly there's this thing between them. There was no buildup. Odd glance while he's fucking fiddling his wedding ring, that just doesn't do it
for
me.
They did that, though. They did that stuff on purpose. And I'm telling you, from that second when they shot that scene, I was like, if they do this, it is a big mistake. I do not like where this goes.
Right.
This is going. And from that second, I had a bad feeling.
Look, I understand
that. And there was no buildup to the relationship. There was just that happened. And you're like, oh, don't do this, writers, because it'll be a mistake.
I understand that romance is often ill-timed in life, especially if there's passion involved. But I'm not seeing that.
Passion between these two?
No.
Oh, no.
It's like, it's awfully, I don't know. It just strikes me as like really like late age old white people stuff, which is ironic since Sasha's not white. It's kind of like, here's a nice profile. Maybe we should meet. And they sit down and they exchange ideas and they're like, yes, I think it's logical that we should commence with the dating. Let us get our affairs. It's very British. Let us get our affairs in order first before we start dating. Yeah, yes, yes, sir. So I don't know. Is that... Like, it's so odd. It's like they're trying to logically conclude that they're together because we're not seeing the sparks on screen.
Not even. I am so not a fan of this at all. Like, this to me is a horrible idea, and there's nothing that can happen that's going to make me get behind it. Because, again, if you have chemistry between actors, if you don't, it doesn't work.
Sure.
And you can try to make it work. And I'm sure plenty of television shows have been like, oh, we kind of want these people to date because that's what the script says, but it doesn't work and you have to go another route. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
If I look at these two and I'm like, really? They're gonna have sexual intercourse, those two? That's going to happen. He's going to dump Rosita, who I watched him bang in a library just a few seasons ago.
You know who
ago.
Else watched him? Eugene.
Yeah, he did. What is this going to do to Eugene? It's like his parents getting divorced. I haven't seen him all season, and I'm worried about him.
I think Eugene's going to want to go after Rosita if that happens. But
well,
anyway.
Now that Tara's gay and he knows he can't get her, it makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, it's ugly.
Oh, I'm so turned off by this. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well... After you got some stuff to take care of line, how do we come back to them?
Yeah, but that's the end of the episode. So
okay,
let's just come back
so
to
we'll
that at
come
the
back
end. We'll
that,
go through all Daryl's shit and then we can talk about the last scene because I have a lot to say about that thing in the last scene.
Okay, so let's go.
So Daryl goes back to the loser squad I wrote. He wants to make a trade for the duffel bag. It's the principle of the thing.
I appreciate that. He's like, I'm giving you this back because I'm not a monster, but it's going to cost you for the principle of you fuckers
yeah.
turning your backs on me.
That was more like old Daryl as opposed to the guy who doesn't know how to fucking get out his crossbow and kill a walker. So I guess, right. I don't know, maybe Daryl's schizophrenic right now, has multiple personality disorder. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Well,
but anyway, he's back to normal right now trying to make a trade.
They get interrupted by the truck coming through the woods with Wade and Co.
Yeah.
Let's end this. It's ours. You got to pay for it. You have to pay for the gas for us to come out here. So there's some kind of beef here that we don't know the details of.
Oh, just one thing before we start getting into this. They do make a trade. Dwight gives him this fucking weirdo statue thing. He tries to tell Daryl his whole story about how he learned to carve it. And Daryl's like, I don't give a shit don't about care. Your story, bro.
Yeah, that was perfect. Perfect Daryl behavior.
But we do see the statue again at the end. And I feel like, I don't know if we're going to run into these people again or what the circumstances are going to be. But I just feel like that needs to be mentioned.
Because I wonder if Daryl's crossbow is going to come back somehow.
Probably. Probably. He's lost his crossbow before.
Would it be crazy if he got killed with his own crossbow?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Wow. Anyway.
That's a good way for him to go out, I feel.
So.
Anyways, back to Wade.
Daryl goes back for them and helps them escape through the woods. Now, I think this is good Daryl behavior based on Daryl's behavior lately. He's talking to Rick. This is what it's about, man. We need people.
Yeah,
I want to go on the
runs. Bro, Aaron.
I want to recruit. I can see Daryl making the decision to help these people out.
I agree.
Okay? I don't think that that's totally bad.
No, I would not give him negatives for this. I'm all right with it.
Oh, by the way.
Until he gives the annoying guy his gun back.
Right.
Then I give him a negative.
Right. So Daryl gives Dwight the pistol back right here.
Bad and then move.
It's at this point Dwight must know that Daryl isn't one of these people, right?
Yes, I'm sure. That probably is a good telltale sign.
So they hide near this kind of this brush, this down brush. They hide over there. And then we see...
But they're screaming like dummies. Your rules are batshit. Okay, relax. Relax, lady.
So we see Cam get bit. Daryl kind of leads him towards the walker.
Yes, he does, which I love, by the way. Daryl makes a little rustling. So he sees the walker. He knows the guy's going to walk right by it. Walker bites him. Great. Love it. Love it. Brilliant move by Daryl's part. That was really cool.
Right. I do like that a lot. And, you know, this begs the question. This is one of the things I like about this show. And where I think, again, there's opportunity. Earlier in this podcast, I was saying, you know, if the walkers got led to somewhere that caused this death and disaster, it would be crazy because that would put your group in a tough spot because they'd be responsible for that chaos.
Mm-hmm.
What if, you know, this reminds me of this police training video I saw once where it was, you respond to the scene of a crime. This guy comes bombing out of the back into an alleyway. And he's got a gun and he's running, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they show, oh, the cop draws down and yells. The guy doesn't listen. They shoot the guy. Come to find out, it's a store owner pursuing the robber who already left, right? My point is that you don't know what you're falling into the middle of. So what if these people are fucking, what if Dwight's a bad dude and did something bad? And now he's getting this guy Cam killed, who's just trying to capture this guy who wronged them somehow. You know what I'm saying? It's cool to think about.
Yeah, because you don't know the dynamics of
anything.
You don't
know the dynamics of
this. You just know
who
we've met and their side of the story.
We don't know the history of their conflict.
You know there's always three sides to every story.
And that's what I want. I want that. I want that more in this show. We got it a little bit with Alexandria and Rick and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want more of. I don't want clear evil. You know, I want there to be the nuances in human behavior. And I think that's what's interesting about this.
Right.
Anyway, so Wade chops off his arm, which we already joked about, with the sharpest knife of all time, tells him to walk it off. Meanwhile, Sherry's shooting insulin into Tina. She's having a bad day.
They're sisters too, apparently.
They look nothing alike.
Because she calls her sister. And then later they're like, oh, when we were kids, we babysat these other kids, which when we get there, I'll complain about that. But they do not look like sisters.
Right.
Just want to point that out.
The group leaves, so they just kind of give up the search.
They're this guy chopped his arm off. I guess we should call it a night.
We got a medevac.
We probably better medevac him. Where's the helicopter?
Yeah. So Dwight is kind of shocked that Daryl helped him. He's like, you know, we bushwhacked you, basically put a gun in your face.
He's surprised that Daryl wasn't with those guys. He's like, wow, bro, I really thought you were with those dudes.
Right.
But you're not, so that's cool.
So anyway, they walk through the woods and they talk about them and how they were with them. It was good at first and then bad. And then Dwight says something that I think is relevant. He says, they got nothing left except existing. This is something that Matthew and I have talked a lot about. Mm-hmm. And that is what is life in the undead world? Is it simply existing, or is there a quality of life there, right?
I think that's kind of what Abraham and Sasha were talking about a little too.
Correct. I think they were. And I think this dialogue ties back into what they were both talking about, and it's tied into The Walking Dead for a long time now.
Right.
And I liked that question, and it makes you think maybe this group, Wade or Negan, whoever the fuck it's going to be, maybe they're similar in some ways, which I think would be interesting. But anyway, Tina runs off.
All willy-nilly, I wrote.
Because she finds the burned-down place in the woods.
Yeah, and here, okay. So we had an entire zombie apocalypse that's been going on for however long it's been going on for, and Tina just magically ends up at a place where the kids used to babysit when she was a child live in the middle of the woods that's burned down by accident from this group that she was with. Does this seem fucking odd to you?
It's ludicrous.
Okay, thank God. Because I was like, what the fuck is happening right now?
It's ludicrous.
Okay, thank God. Thank God.
If they wanted to kill Tina, it could have just been they come upon this shelter, they're looking around, she gets grabbed and bit. But yeah. No, that's not what happens. So a couple things that I liked. The melted glass, as you pointed out.
Love it.
Very cool effect.
So cool.
And then she kind of sits down and then...
she fucking brings them flowers. Yeah. What the fuck, Tina? The whole forest is burned down. You found fresh flowers?
Yeah.
First of all, where do those flowers come from? Let's start with thing number one.
Not sure.
Well, neither am I.
Okay.
Does the writer of this episode know?
I guess not. Maybe she had some in her backpack right next to her insulin.
This just makes me think about freaking... what was the name of that girl that Carol shot in the head?
Lizzie. Thin Lizzie.
Oh, she's the best.
So...
wish Carol shot this bitch in the head.
There's a really funny still on Facebook. Facebook.com/LibertyStreetGeek that Jamie posted.
Jamie Lomas, of course.
This top down of her like sitting and laying back so these things can kill her. It's awful. The I don't know if you call it blocking. I don't know what you call it, but it's a shit show in this episode with this particular part.
Like, who directed this shit?
She gets bit to death in this really weird fashion. And yeah, it's bizarro. We babysat these people as kids.
Again.
How old is Tina, first of all?
I don't know, but again, this blows my mind. So you didn't know the children you babysat were living in a house in the woods right near the compound you're currently living in that somebody just set on fire. Like in this whole zombie apocalypse, you didn't move away from the place you babysat children when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Is this an amazing coincidence?
It's so ludicrous. We must be wrong. We must have missed something. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. If someone can explain this shit to me, please.
Yeah, shoot us an email, lsgpodcast.
I didn't read any articles about this or listen to any other podcasts.
lsgpodcast@gmail.com. Please explain this to us, because apparently we're missing it on two viewings.
I must be stupid, because if I'm not stupid, I do not know how this was allowed in the final script.
Anyway, let's move on. Dwight buries Tina. Daryl asks Dwight the three questions.
Oh, and Dwight feels bad, by the way, because he set that fire that killed those girls and then killed Tina. Boo fucking who, Dwight? Let's move on. It's a zombie apocalypse.
This is like we used to joke about this, calling it the magic incantation, as if these three questions are going to prove anything whatsoever.
Yeah. Is this what Daryl does when he's recruiting people? Like, what does Aaron do when Daryl starts asking these questions? Is he like, Daryl, relax. I got it.
He's like, I got it.
We're going to take a step back, bro.
We're going to give them spaghetti, a little bit of wine. Then they're in.
Bring them some baby food.
Baby carrots. So Dwight sort of says this thing, if I killed someone, there'd be no going back.
No, my favorite part is when he asks him if he's killed any walkers, and he says a lot. And Daryl says, how many? And he goes, I don't know, a couple dozen. Carol kills a couple dozen walkers for fun on a Saturday. Are you fucking kidding me right now? That's a lot of walkers.
And then she killed half a dozen people on Tuesday.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes she burns them. She typically shoots them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're children.
Yeah. It started
with... she bakes casserole.
It started with burning, but the more her psychosis set in, she just went for quick kills. Oh
my God, this guy, what a joke.
Carol wants to get caught.
What a joke this dude is.
So anyway,
I miss Carol. Bring her back on my TV, please.
I don't even know who Carol is. Is she somebody in this show?
Well, no, who I really don't know, Eugene.
That's true.
Or Glenn. I've already forgot about that motherfucker.
So anyway, Daryl tells Dwight about where he is from and how the people... are like there, more or less. So he finally starts talking to this guy. kind of in that Daryl way.
Daryl's gonna recruit this guy. He's having a tough time though. Apparently this is why Aaron goes with him on recruiting missions, because as you can see, this one isn't gonna turn out well. No,
very poorly, because they decide to draw down on Daryl, take
his
bike.
Shit.
Daryl tries to use the information he had against him, which I appreciate. That's not typically a Daryl move, but he tried. He's like, you're gonna go back and kneel, right?
Yeah. It's right, Daryl. You tell him.
I like that a lot.
That's cool with it.
Obviously, the guy's got a pistol on you. It's much faster than a crossbow. You're fucked. He's drawn down on you. And then they say, we're sorry. And he says, you're going to be. And they speed off.
But wait, before they speed off, they do something really sweet and fucking kind as they give him some gauze for his boo-boo.
You know
so
what would
nice.
Have been awesome? If they just handed him Band-Aids with like the Flintstones
on them,
right?
I was just
going
to say, like Disney princess Band-Aids. Oh my God. It would be my
for
dream.
Your scraped
like
elbow.
Hello Kitty. Oh,
yeah.
That would be good.
We're not going with anybody who thinks a scraped elbow is wound worthy.
Yeah. But the thing is, don't forget, Daryl sells that statue because he takes a look at it. He's like, well, I got my ship. I got the statue. This will come back, guys. Don't forget it.
Yeah. It's not crossbow might too, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I think we'll see the crossbow again.
So...
Daryl then finds a rando truck.
Hold hidden. On. Let's talk about this betrayal. Sorry. We can't move past the betrayal.
All right, let's talk about it.
What the fuck is Dwight thinking?
He's a fucking idiot, probably, is what I would say.
Yeah.
This also makes no logical sense. I'm going to point this out. They know Daryl's not with this other group, okay? Daryl came back to bring them the insulin as a trade and then came back again to fucking help them.
And armed them.
Gave the guy a fucking gun.
Yes.
And offered him a place to live.
Right.
And he's going to steal his shit and drive off into the sunset when he's got a crew of crazy people who cut off people's arms at random chasing
with
him.
The sharpest knives in the world.
Do you want that knife chasing you? Because I don't.
I don't either. It could be a lightsaber.
It might be.
It might just be.
I don't know.
Wade is a dark Jedi.
The Force Awakens.
Sure does.
Oh, God. This was stupidity. Like nobody's business.
Yeah. I don't think it's terrible writing. Because we don't know.
Well, that guy
Dwight.
Is an idiot, so.
Right. He's a fucking moron. But we don't know the. We don't know.
He's Reg's
his circumstance.
Like illegitimate son, so. I mean.
That's true.
It's kind of awkward.
But we have to agree we don't know his circumstances. So it's tough to say, like, what's motivating him to do this. But man, that's risky.
I think in most circumstances that it's not the proper reaction.
Okay, fair enough.
I think that a far more likely reaction would be to go with Daryl.
Daryl
saved
and,
his life.
What if him and Sherry have a love baby back in like a treehouse somewhere?
Then they should have said, we got to go back and get our love baby, Daryl. Is that cool with you? And Daryl would be like, yeah, there's another love baby at my camp. And her name is Judith.
Named
and
the wee baby Judith.
There's also some rando chick that's preggo. We're going to find out real soon.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty dumb. So he walks back to where everything started with a
we'll
biker helmet.
We'll see these bitches again, though.
Absolutely. Ugh. And then he finds a truck in the woods.
Okay. That's kind of random. I get it. The truck's hidden. Like, he hid the bike originally. That was fucking cute, except not really. It was annoying because...
That he hid the bike was annoying?
No. He hid the bike by pulling the branches over it. And then he's like, I came to this spot and I hit a bike and there's another biker. So maybe there's a truck behind this giant thing of trees. Like, what the fuck? You didn't notice the truck before?
Nor did any of them. They all walk through there, right?
I certainly didn't notice the truck before.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Is that the missing Patty?
No, I didn't see no Patty on that truck.
Well, it's called Patrick something, so I wonder if they
no,
were
the truck said something different on it. That didn't say Patrick on it.
Do you remember what it said?
No.
Ugh, woof. Look it up.
Oh, if Matthew was here, he would know.
So,
yeah, whatever.
Let's get to the end of this episode.
Yippee. Okay.
Abraham shows off his new dress uniform. Sasha likes it. It fits perfectly.
Which is weird.
Perfectly fitted.
Abraham is a tall man.
He's a big man.
This reminded me of, I know you don't really watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but in the very first season,
it's a great show though.
There's this episode where like Charlie goes to get Dennis's grandfather's old stuff and he finds a military
Nazi
uniform
stuff.
And
yes.
He just starts wearing it. It's a Nazi uniform.
I remember. That's a great episode.
So when Abraham first found this, I'm like, oh man, this reminds me of Charlie in the Nazi uniform. And then when Abraham came out, I'm like, are there any swastikas on that? Because that would be very funny.
Yeah,
I mean, in
all
a really politically incorrect way.
That's a good point. So they hang out. By the way, Sasha likes.
She's like, maybe we don't have to wait. Actually, Sasha doesn't seem sexually interested in Abraham at all because there's no chemistry between these two whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, here's this like gigantic man in a military suit that fits him perfectly.
It's possible.
And Sasha's just like,
It's possible Sasha's asexual. She never strikes me as having...
She made it with Bob one time.
Yeah, kind of. But she was... She's always
kind of forced that issue.
Honestly, she's always disinterested, isn't she? She never really seemed interested in Bob either. And she seems half interested in Abraham. Maybe she got really high standards.
Maybe, but like, who's she waiting for? Fucking Rick?
No.
Daryl?
Well, what she doesn't know is that Daryl doesn't like girls. He likes boys.
I know. At least that would be some interesting plot line for him.
So anyway, they get back.
The truck approaches and they're all like, we better shoot this truck. And they're like, oh shit, it's Daryl. What's up, bro?
Was that the dialogue line? I should have put the captions on for that. Let's shoot this truck. Oh shit, what's up, bro?
Daryl, what's up, bro?
Some good writing.
And Abraham's like, I guess we can bang later. And Sasha's like, yeah, at least now it won't be infidelity. She'll dump Rosita. Since she, in the zombie apocalypse, that's super important to her.
Yeah.
Her and Rosita are friends. Just saying.
Let us mercifully move to the close of this episode.
The three ride off into the Alexandrian sunset together, I wrote.
Okay. And?
They try to walkie Rick.
Let's talk about the fucking help.
Yeah, let's do it.
Who is it?
Not Glenn. Do you want to know how I know it's not Glenn? Other than that, it doesn't sound like Glenn anymore. So when I originally watched this episode, I watched it live and I was tweeting and I was like, Glenn? ? And I was waiting for the internet to explode and it really didn't, which is it's probably because nobody gives a shit about Glenn anymore.
Yeah.
Like when he comes back to life, we'll be like, eh, whatever. So I read an interview with Norman Reedus and this is what he said. The interviewer said, at the very end, we heard some voice saying help on the other end of the walkie-talkie. What can you say about that and what's coming next? And Norman Reedus replies, I will say that the voice is not Glenn.
Okay.
No one fucking asked him if it was Glenn, but that's his response. The person says, I'm sure that's what people were wondering. And Norman Reedus said, it's not Glenn, but it's probably somebody at Alexandria with all we know that's happening there.
No fucking way. That's 20 miles away.
Are you kidding me? Like, this is...
Walkie-talkies don't work.
What the fuck is with their, like, media following these episodes?
Class A
fuckery.
Not to be confused with Class C or B fuckery. Class A fuckery from Norman Reedus. You will be sentenced to hang by the neck until dead. Carry out your sentence, executioner. Listen.
You remind me of...
Do me a favor?
No. Yeah.
Can you credit whoever that was?
I don't remember.
Well, we got to find out. And we'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
All right.
We'll link Norman Reedus interview.
We'll link to the interview in the show notes because I don't want to be...
I just got
to
find it. I just screenshot of that shit.
Okay. So that's fuckery, number one. Number two, walkie-talkies do not work that way. If you have a satellite phone, like in the military, your walkie-talkie isn't going to work 20 miles in this terrain. Through the woods, all the way back to Alexandria. What are they, 5, 6, 7 miles away? 10 miles maybe?
Who knows?
But I think they're a little out of walkie-talkie range, a little bit for Alexandria, but I could be wrong. I don't know about... I'm not a fucking walkie-talkie expert.
Whatever, we'll find out. I don't know who has the walkie to say help like that. It's not fucking Rick.
Okay. Calm down.
And the only other person who has walkie-talkies is Glenn.
Let's talk about who has walkie-talkies.
Okay.
Rick.
Yeah, I'm going to write them down. Rick.
Glenn.
Glenn, in parentheses, dead, ?
Three.
Daryl.
There's one. Does he?
He's got a walkie.
Dwight.
Dwight is Daryl's walkie?
He does. I think Dwight has Daryl's walkie and they were using the walkie that Sasha and Abraham had because he took all of Daryl's shit. My guess is...
Oh, Dean, you're so much smarter than the world.
I doubt I'm the first person to notice this, but think
Drop
about it.
That mic.
He took all his shit. He has the walkie-talkie. It's got to be Dwight. He fucking ran off, got himself in trouble. Now he's begging for help. I think.
That's good. I like that. That's the is the most logical explanation that I am comfortable with.
Because it's not...
Better than the other explanation that is going on the Facebook page.
Because I don't think we're going to get a walkie-talkie on Glenn. I think we're going to get a flare gun on Glenn. I think we're going to see a flare go up.
It wasn't Glenn, too, because I listened to it. And it definitely wasn't Glenn. The first time I got excited, but it's not Glenn and it's not Rick.
Rick would not say, like, a big vagina.
Daryl might nowadays.
Help into the fucking mic. No way. Not going to happen. Unless he was severely wounded. That's like
Daryl from the past. Help, my elbow hurts.
Unless he's severely wounded and we know he isn't.
Yeah, he's just chilling in Alexandria, making out with Alexander Breckenridge.
Yeah, my man. So, yeah, it's got to be Dwight because he took off with all Daryl's shit. There was radio in there. Unless Daryl had the radio on him, but I think he took all his shit, knives and everything.
I think he took all the stuff.
I think so, too. And I think he's radioing for help, hoping somebody finds him. And that's Daryl and Sasha's radio. That's
Abraham and Sasha, yes. Yep.
Anyway, that's
that makes logical sense. I feel comfortable about that now.
Yeah, I don't think it's supposed to be as much of a mystery as people think it is.
No, but I think it was fucker on their part, again.
That's why.
Doing it because they wanted people to be like, is that Glenn? And then rewind it 50 times and then do what they're doing right now. Oh, it sounds kind of like Nicholas.
Maybe. Yeah, because there's been a lot of fuckery this whole season.
Oh my God.
So now everyone's like,
can we talk about the Facebook people talking about Nicholas?
Now everyone's like freaking out about the fuckery because they're assuming like anything like not totally defined is a crazy conspiracy and time travel and all kinds of nonsense.
Yes.
All right. Let's do this.
Okay. Let's do this.
Let's get to our listener feedback. Okay. And then we will do our final thoughts on the episode and maybe throw out a couple of predictions. All right. So, we got some Facebook comments and we got some Reddit comments. Who's reading today? Me or you?
I don't know. Probably me because I don't normally do this shit.
I like your style. Don't forget some of the... There's a couple editor's notes on some of these. Don't forget to mention those.
Guess I won't.
Go.
Brian Campbell says, I've got to admit, the mystery of Glenn is becoming less and less important to me when I see all the other cogs and gears of Rick's group at work. That's why I really enjoyed this episode. Ryan Campbell, I agree with the first thing you said and not with the last thing. David Zapanta says, I don't mind if humans are once again the key threat to our survivors, but I prefer seeing the undead as a true force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I like that comment a lot. I mean, the fact that they just sort of tricked 1,000-some-odd walkers to go the other direction kind of starts to lessen the...
But then Daryl can't kill one. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Moving along.
Jamie Loma says, I couldn't have cared less about the three characters that Daryl ran into.
Jessica feels the same exact way.
No, I'm laughing about whatever. I do feel the same way, though. When the diabetic Justin Bieber died, I yawned. Except that I was a bit irritated at how she lay down very politely in order to be eaten. It looks like she was going to take a nap again. Please see photo.
Yes, I cannot. That's...
Oh my God. Jamie Loomis, you should be a comedian.
It was almost like how fucking Eastman died. Just so silly.
Eastman was my bro. Mr. Buckets.
Mr. Bucket.
I'm getting really fed up with all the, quote, when are we going to find out about Glenn, end quote, whining. Can't they just enjoy the suspense? I enjoy this one, but I'm not buying that Sasha's one bit of interest in old Dolphin Smooth.
Indeed.
Karen Loomis says, I hate to say it, but I think Alexandria has made my man Daryl soft. If Karen Loomis is saying this,
if she's
it's
saying,
fucking the truth.
If she's saying this, they're bringing the crash cart for Daryl because he is flatlining.
You needed your crossbow to take down the spinal moss walker?
Exactly.
You've been on that bike for too long. What about just picking up a rock and bashing its head in? You go, Karen Loomis. You tell
And there are quick editor's notes. I just want to quickly say hello to Karen's lovely daughters, Jessica and Ashley, who I had the pleasure of meeting. So hello, Jessica and Ashley. I hope you're enjoying this podcast and hanging out with moms and having a good time. So
she's forcing you guys to be quiet and listen to it.
Yeah, the three of you, I hope you're having a good night. Hello from us at LSG Media. Okay, that is
all. Yeah, and Karen, secretly I'm doing this podcast because you asked me when you were going to hear me on a Walking Dead podcast and I beat Matthew up so I could.
We framed Matthew for murder and now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next. All right.
Aaron Cowell says, too many Hollywood what the fuck moments for my tastes. The OJ chase? Moving targets? Yes, hard for the unpracticed, but put enough rounds down, you'll hit something.
No
Big
shit.
Big D was what, 20 feet away, maybe?
Yeah, good point, my brother.
Elton McManus says, that's it. Bollocks to Glenn. Bollocks.
Think he's from the UK?
I love the word bollocks. I want to use it, but I feel like it'd be weird. I've lost interest in what's happened to him. That's how I feel, too.
Mm-hmm.
I like all the stories happening at the same time, but feel like the main story of our group finding their way in the world and working towards an endpoint is starting to stall.
Agreed.
John E. Hewitt says, how many people are going to turn into Marty at the end of Back to the Future Part 2 when they heard Glenn on the radio? Quote, He's alive. He's in the Old West, but he's alive.
That's awesome.
They better have a good excuse cooked up for his escape.
Yep.
By the way, you should listen to our Back to the Future 2 podcast.
Before you do Allison's comment, let me just say that Allison had a lot of great points this week, and she was hilarious. So if you want to see all of her comments, because obviously I can't read the whole thing, go to facebook.com/LibertyStreetGeek. It was great shit. Her and actually Kate Stanislavski, I hope I'm saying that right, who is a new patron, by the way, mm-hmm. Which we will shout you out on the Jurassic World episode. But thank you here on The Walking Dead for your patron contribution, Kate. Had great comments this week. So continue with Allison.
Yeah, Allison, great
comments. She crushed it this week.
Here's just some the basic highlights. I was pretty much bored to the point of anger. Here's my list of complaints. Daryl, get the goddamn hair out of your face and eyes.
Yes.
Abraham and Sasha, I don't think so. He may as well have said, hey, I'm getting really bored waiting on Daryl and I'd like to put my penis in here now.
I know, because it would have had the same level of fucking chemistry.
Yes, basically.
Good shit, Allison.
Tori Hunter says in regards to Sasha and Abraham that he called it. A man knows. also, Chekhov's crossbow.
Nice.
And Glenn Hu, where the fuck is Carol?
Good shit, Tori.
Yes, all things that are true. Deborah Makura, this episode sucked. I pretty much hated everything about it except the irony of the diabetic chick getting eaten after Daryl decides to be a good guy and bring her insulin. You know what? I bet, what's the name of that doctor? Denise? Is
Denise,
that her name?
Dr. Denise.
Denise could probably use that insulin, so she's going to be pretty happy about this find. Oh, except they don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, they'll get it back because that guy was on the radio. Kate Stanislavski, right?
Yes.
Who actually likes Sasha and said she was cool, calm, and collected. Anyway, Abraham sure loves that dark meat, and they're getting darker all the time. Watch out, Michonne. You might be the next one to ride the dolphin. Matthew Anderson would not be on board.
No, he would not.
Hashtag Rashone.
Yep.
Burt Booker said, I'm not even going to talk about Glenn because that fucker is dead. Remember, Kirkman and crew, loose ends make my ass itch.
That is a great fucking comment, dude.
Love it.
Good shit. Now we move over to the Reddit comments.
Couple things from Reddit. Tales for Whales says, think about this. Abraham died at the start of the episode.
Jesus Christ.
Makes a lot more sense. He has a Jacob's Ladder style wet dream death. Glenn was on the radio at the end pulling him back from the lights.
Dude, this podcast will be canceled summarily if that is the case.
Oh my God. So much talk about Nicholas not really being dead too on the Facebook page.
Oh, good check God. Out.
Bonvin. Yep. On Reddit says, Daryl, Sasha, and Abraham did not deserve this much screen time. They weren't even doing anything important, just trying to get back to Alexandria. So they had to throw in a bunch of nonsense where they got attacked and separated to fill 40 minutes, as if there's not enough shit going on without them introducing even more people in conflicts.
That is a great summary of the problems of this episode. Agreed, Bonvin.
Yeah, almost exactly. Like, that's the way to succinctly put it.
And lastly,
Lawgiver says, filler episode, pure and simple.
100% accurate. Awesome comments this week, guys. Thank you very much. Remember, that's r/LHG Media on Reddit or facebook.com/LibertyStreetGeek. So if you guys want to jump in, you can also email lhgpodcast@gmail.com.
You can like tweet at us.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we
if you want to do anything like that. And like I said, Kate's one of our newest subscribers through Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/LHG Media, you guys can look at ways to help support the show. As you know, we've got multiple podcasts as a result of that support. We're at about 500 a month thanks to the generosity of you guys. And if you want to get in on that and figure out all the cool benefits like being part of the voting polls, definitely check out patreon.com/LSG Media and patrons, patreon.com. It's in the show notes. So thanks again, Kate. We really appreciate that. Very cool. And let's go ahead and get to our final thoughts. What do you think?
My final thoughts are, I hope the next episode is better than this one, or I'm probably gonna fall asleep during it because I don't know if it could be more boring. But I have high hopes because we'll be back with our Alexandria people who are interesting and have shit going on. I think that we will, at the end of the mid-season, see a flare gun, and that will be as much as we get about Glenn, and no one will give a shit because we're sick of it now. Mm-hmm. And I think there'll probably be some other type of major character death, and it'll be cool. And those are my predictions.
I think The Walking Dead's going to start shedding some characters.
They got a lot right now. It's about time for a cleanse.
I think they're going to start cleansing a few of the characters out of this thing. And what rhymes with cleansing? Glenn-zing.
And Daryling. Oh, no, wait, sorry.
No, but seriously, I just to put to rest the Glenn thing, I think Glenn's probably one of two things. He's mortally wounded. We're going to reveal that he's been bitten, but he somehow escapes. Or he's fucking totally dead and they find him dead, which I think is unlikely.
In the barn.
Or he's a total unlikely red herring and suddenly somebody else dies as a result of this. We got this weird tension with Ron wanting to learn how to shoot. He's got a problem with Carl. Now we got Abraham and this whole thing going on. Abraham's storyline's getting weird.
What if Rosita just like kills Sasha like on a murder show because she's mad?
That would be terrible. But yeah, so we're going to start shedding some characters.
Yeah, it's about time.
I think that this episode is not very good. I don't like the Abraham-Sasha dynamic at all. I like Abraham and I don't hate Sasha. Sasha doesn't do a lot for me. I wasn't very sympathetic to her going off the deep end and running around the woods and having Michonne slap some sense into her. That didn't do anything for me. I don't know why. I do like Abraham a lot. And I think taking Abraham and attaching him to Sasha lessens the Abraham character, which is unfortunate. I don't know if that means Abraham's on his way out, or maybe it means Sasha's on her way out, but I don't know. I think if he's getting these feelings to walk away from Rosita, things are going to come to a head here, and I don't know how they're going to resolve that in writing sense. The easy way would be to kill one of the three of them. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. It might. I still think Glenn's Foxville. I don't think Glenn gets out of season six alive. And that's that. I think something's going to happen with Ron and Carl. I don't know what, but obviously there's some tension there. Because I don't know if Ron's going to go after Rick. And I kind of think Rick is untouchable.
Rick isn't. Well, the guy who creates the show or whatever, they've said that the Kirkman. Only two people who are untouchable are Rick and Carl.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that still stands. I mean, Rick is untouchable. You can't kill Rick at this point.
Not yet. All right.
You can if Andrew Lincoln decides he wants to do something else with his life. Then you kill Rick and try to continue the show.
Good point. I don't think there's anything else I want to say about it, except I hope the next episode's better as well. So I echo your feelings as far as that is concerned, my friend. Mm-hmm. All right. So we are going to get out of here. And if you want to check out other things we do, go to libertystreetgeek.net. We got some other shows. Definitely check us out. And we'll catch you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Matthew will likely be returning, but maybe Jessica will step in for one of these finales.
Maybe I'll join the crew and we'll do a three-way.
Oh, shit. That sounds sick.
Just like maybe Abraham and Sasha and Rosita should.
Yeah, maybe. That sounds good. Can I be the dolphin in that one? All right. We're out of here. See ya.
Bye.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning into another episode of The Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. If you like what you heard, remember to share the episode with friends. Get us out there. Get our name out there. Help us out. And you know what? Check out libertystreetgeek.net. We got all kinds of podcasts over there. Plenty to listen to. Science fiction, film, Game of Thrones, True Detective, and more. All right. We'll see you next time.